tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He was gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The second reading of the Bible today is from Philippians 4, verses 1 to 9, and that's on page 1180 of the Church Bible. Closing appeal for steadfastness and unity. "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." This is the word of the Lord.
All right, Pete. I'll take this one up a bit. When we were singing just now, and that Waymaker, he said, we sang about healing hearts. He's healing hearts and he's changing lives. And we pray now that this is the time when it happens, because God never stops working and he's working now. All right, so Pete, we just pray for you now. We lift you up, Lord, all that you've given Pete now. Father, you would use his mouth to speak out your truth to us, that it will change lives and it will encourage us and move us on and heal us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to stay there a minute. Morning. Is that? Yeah. Have you ever played word association? Somebody? Yeah, yeah. Good, good. It's a simple game. That's why I can probably play it quite well. Word association, simple. Peter? No, that's not right. Person starts by saying a word, then somebody obviously picks a word that is associated with that word. You with me so far? If anybody hesitates or uses a word that's already been said, then they are out. So, totally unrehearsed, I'm going to have a game of word association with Roger. No, it's okay, Rogers. No, it's nothing. I've played the joke. I'm the simple one. No, all you got to do is... No, it's not scripted at all, you understand. Just read the words in blue.
Oh, that's already coming.
I'm sure Roger would have been very good at this game, but it could go on forever. Otherwise, because being two intelligent guys, our knowledge of the English language. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to kick it off with football.
United.
Together.
Friends.
TV.
Movies.
Yeah, see a bit of acting going on there, don't you?
Trying to make it authentic.
It's very good. It's when he pauses for about 5 minutes. Then. Where do we get to? Titanic.
He's out. No, ship.
No. Harbour.
Plymouth.
Argyle.
Football.
Did you see what I did there? He fell straight into the trap. Here's another one. True.
Noble.
Right.
Pure.
Lovely.
Admirable.
Excellent.
Praiseworthy.
Pure.
That's it, I've finished.
No, that was an as well. I said pure already. Yeah, you said pure, see? Best of five.
Time to sit down, I think.
No, it could go on forever, yeah. In verse 8, Paul wrote, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Rather than just a quick game of word association, or reading this verse as perhaps we read other verses in this letter, Paul tells us, think on such things. The word that Paul uses here for think means to contemplate, to consider, not just a passing thought. The habits of mind instilled by some of our relationships, some of our circumstances, and some of modern media can be directly opposite to this list. Things that are unholy, impure, vicious, blameworthy. We need to be sure that we are filling our minds with the things that God has given us to enjoy and celebrate. Now, I'm not going to dwell very long on this verse. It really needs to be thought about on a one-to-one basis between us and God. Because wherever we're at, whatever circumstances we're in, it could mean different things, being true, being pure, praiseworthy. This isn't a cop-out from finishing the sermon early. But I do think when he says, think about these things, that's what we should do. I can't think on your behalf. I can't tell you what to think. God, through his Holy Spirit, will speak to you and lead you in your thoughts. But this is a good place to start with this list. At the end of my sermon, I will return to this verse in a time of contemplative reading, taking it a little bit slower. I've recently started researching my family tree, spending a little bit of time at Barnstable Library and the Heritage Centre. Made some fascinating discoveries. I think of myself as being pretty thoroughbred. I didn't get that reaction at Goodley. I'm just trying to go through my head what thoroughbred. I'm doing word association in my head now. Thoroughbred. Jane actually says that this explains quite a bit about me, the fact that most of my family grew up in around Tiverton, born and bred. Although I've discovered a few interesting things. Bit of a surprise, some of them. One was that a great, whenever the Industrial Revolution took place, relative of mine, great-great-great-grandfather, walked from Leicestershire to Tiverton. You may be familiar with that story. He worked at Heathcote's in Tiverton. But that's not too far. That's pretty distant. But then the big surprise, something perhaps I'll need some prayer for later, is that I found that a great-grandmother was born in South Wales. I'm an eighth Welsh. I'm on your side, Di. Pontypridd, she was born. Is that how you say it? I don't know. I'm going to learn a bit of Welsh now. And from researching my family tree, I found a copy of a census form written in 1911, which had been filled in by hand by my great-grandfather. His handwriting was very similar to my father's handwriting. I've checked with my father, and he never met his grandfather. But obviously through the local school, the same style of handwriting had been passed down through all those generations. I can imagine a small country school in mid-Devon 100 years ago with the pupils copying, practicing. Jesus taught by example. He ate with the outcasts, as we heard read in Luke. He touched the lives of the sick and the poor in full view of his disciples and his followers. They were included in those lessons. And it appears in the letter to the Philippians that Paul had a similar teaching style. Because in verse 9, we read, "Brothers and sisters, whatever you have learned." The word that Paul used for learned is one that means learning in a very intentional way. Today, it would be like an apprenticeship. You're learning something for a purpose. Jesus and many of the other great leaders didn't write any books themselves. So discipleship or apprenticeship was the main means of teaching. This is what you do. This is how you do it. Paul would have probably lived with the church members in Philippi, much like in the same way as Jesus lived, spent time with the disciples. Nowadays, it's very rare that we can have such an intense experience of teaching. But we do have the scriptures. 2,000 years ago, they didn't have what we now call the New Testament. So we can have that teaching. We can hear the stories passed down through the generations about Jesus. As I said, intense teaching is rarely experienced nowadays. But as well as the scriptures, we do have a multitude of Christian life books to teach and inform us. An important part of our Christian faith is to keep on learning. Never to think we've reached that point. Nothing more to learn. I'd encourage you to have at least one Christian book on your bedside table. I'm quite a slow reader, so I currently have a pile of books. Whenever I go to a conference like New Wine or Spring Harvest, I end up with a pile of books come back that will last me the next 50 years. It's one book I picked up at New Wine last year, and one that perhaps Mike would have appreciated last week. It's called The Introvert Charismatic. The Gift of Introvert... Oh, I can't say that now. In a Noisy Church. And Mike was talking about that last week. And here's another book The girl, deconstruction project, wildness, wonder, and being a woman. No, sorry, that's one of Jane's books, sorry. In fact, Molly, it's for you, isn't it? Jane said, make sure you give it to Molly, so I thought, nah, I've got it. Apparently, it's a very good book. I'm talking about intense learning, these are the books I really enjoy getting into. It's a book here called If by Mark Batterson. This book is about Romans 8. There are quite a few chapters, 30 chapters. He goes through all the verses one by one in great depth, studying it, thinking about it, absorbing it. There are loads and loads of books like this. I'd encourage you to get learning or to keep learning. Brothers and sisters, whatever you have learned or received, the Greek word Paul uses here for receive means wisdom passed down from one generation to the next. Paul passed on the experiences of the disciples that he heard about, passed them on to the new church. The stories of Jesus' birth, his miracles, his death, and his resurrection. And we have received those scriptures, those stories that have been passed down through the generations. Brothers and sisters, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me. Paul is talking here about the personal observations of him during his time in Philippi. Paul is saying, do as I taught, but also do as you heard. Do as you saw in me. Brothers and sisters, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Paul's instruction here is to put all that he had taught into action. There's an obvious contrast between this verse and the previous verse. The instruction Paul used in verse 8 was to think and ponder. But there is a natural progression from what's in our minds and hearts to our actions. And at first glance, it may appear that Paul has been a little bit arrogant. Look at me. Look what I said. He promoted his own teaching, his own character, as the standards for others to live by. But we need to remember what Paul said in another letter. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. He wanted them to imitate him insofar as his teaching and life reflected Christ himself. And this is where it gets really challenging. Because after walking faithfully with Jesus, God has entrusted us with that privilege of being an example to others. We need to embrace this role, not run away from it, and in genuine love and humility, share with others. Conversations like, here are the things I have learned about Jesus. These are the things I have found helpful in the scriptures. This is how my walk with him has developed over the years. We thank God for the mature believers that God has placed in our lives. I'm sure we can think back and think of people that have influenced us. But now we have the opportunity to be a godly example to others. And what a timely example in this week's news sheet. This is part of an advertisement for Alpha. Everyone is welcome to lead or help on an Alpha course. Everyone. Whether you are a brand new Christian or a very mature Christian. ! When we look at our family tree, we can see ourselves gradually moving up the tree as new generations are born. We start as babies, children. We mature into young adults and then family elders. When we start our faith journey, we look to the mature believers for advice, learning, and guidance. But before we know it, there are Christians, some new in their faith, in need of our humble help and encouragement. Sometimes I feel myself being inadequate. When people are asked perhaps to help with prayer ministry, to help at Alpha, to help in lots of different ways in the church, I often find my natural reaction is to look for that other person, that person with a more mature faith, a better knowledge of the Bible. And then I realize it could be me. Because in our Christian family tree, we are, as Paul says, all brothers and sisters. We're adopted into the family of God. We're on this journey together, shoulder to shoulder, as brothers and sisters, giving help, guidance, and encouragement to one another, to both those new and those deep-rooted in their faith. When this letter to the Philippians was reread in churches, I like to think that when they got to those lines that we read in verse 8 and verse 9, the reader slowed up a little bit. Gave time for those people to take in those words. Many of them couldn't actually read those scriptures. We can. And as I come to an end, I'm going to reread those words and reread them in a different way, a way that may throw a different light onto some familiar words. So this is a time to reflect, to ponder, to think. What do those words mean in our lives? If you wish, you may wish to close your eyes as I read these words. Brothers and sisters, whatever you have learned or received or heard or seen, whatever is true, noble, right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on it. Meditate on it and put it into practice in your life, in your family, in your community. Whatever is genuine, honorable, just, whatever is wholesome, divine, worthy. If anything is brilliant or commendable, consider it. Study it and put it into action with your brothers and sisters and with your church family, and the God of peace will be with us. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our rule. May your spirit be our teacher, and your greater glory be our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.